What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Tuesday, April 23rd. What a past few days it has been. Not only sports-wise, but for me. And you're here to hear about what's going on in my life, what's happening in the sports world as well, particularly here in South Florida. I could come on here today and talk about those NBA games last night, the Knicks and the Sixers, all the games that were on television, so much action last night, so much craziness. But then, you know what I would be doing? I would be like every other show in the United States of America. And that is not why you are here. I have my Monster Energy drink to my left. I'm looking at it right now. My white Monster. It has been a crazy past 72 or 96 hours for me. Where do I even begin? We got a Panthers game tonight. Marlins man hit me up yesterday. And he's like, hey, you're done with your poker tournament, and I'll get to that momentarily. Do you want to go to the game with me tomorrow night? The Panthers game. I got two seats on the glass, all you can eat food, drinks, the club, everything. I told him, no. Am I crazy? Probably. I just have, I have so much stuff to catch up on. I feel like I'm talking to a friend right now, but all of you are really my friends. I have so many things to catch up on, and the reason for that is because since Friday, I had been playing in the main event of the World Poker Tour Poker Showdown, the championship. The buy-in was $3,500. This is a monstrous event. First place in the tournament, over $830,000. When I'm at a poker table and I'm in a tournament, if I am laser focused, I feel like I'm just not going to be stopped. I'm going to make all the right decisions. And on Friday, that's what I did. Day two, I came back on Sunday. That's what I did. And yesterday for day three, that is exactly what I did. Get to that table, be laser focused, make all of the right decisions. I didn't feel like I played 100% perfectly, but pretty close to perfect. In the end, out of 1,869 entries, I finished in 38th. I did everything I possibly could at the table. You had the top professional poker players in the world at this tournament. I had people writing to me because they're following the Hard Rock blog on SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. And they're like, man, you've outlasted this guy and this guy and this guy. I just play my game. That's all I do. I play my game. I do the show. I watch sports. I play my game. I have a Monster. And what more can I do? So to all of you who reached out to me via DM, Twitter, whatever it may be, thank you. It was a grueling 30 hours of poker playing over that 3-day period. 30 hours. A lot of people will say that is crazy. Yes, it's a lot of hours, but I enjoy it. I'm not complaining at all. I really enjoy all of those hours. Playing poker in a tournament like that, I have my tournament once a month at the Hard Rock, and we start at 6 p.m. It goes till about 2 in the morning, so it's about 8 hours. It's just one day. These types of tournaments where you have multiple days, it's grueling, and part of doing well is having the stamina, being able to focus. What's funny is I have zero patience. In life, zero patience. Except for when I'm at a poker table. You have to have patience. If you don't have patience and a lot of patience, you're never going to do well. And I have a lot of patience at a poker table. Anywhere else, on the road, at a restaurant. I like long meals. Like when I go to Joe's, it's a 3-hour event. But I just don't have patience for stupidity. I don't have patience for bad drivers. I don't want to wait in a line anywhere. I don't have that type of patience. A poker table, I got no problem. So thank you again to all of you who reached out. It paid very well for 38th place. I'm not complaining. I am satisfied. And a lot of you who were writing to me, some of you, I'm like, come on, really? Some of you are writing to me, yo, I know you're involved in the big poker tournament, but do you have any picks? Do you have any parlays? I'm trying to win 830 grand. You think at that point, let me stop here. Let me unfocus so I can give Joe and Jupiter a same game parlay. Get out of here. The people who wrote that to me almost felt like blocking them just for stupidity. I love showing you my plays on my Instagram account to search Andy Slater, but a lot of you have already found it over the past 3 or 4 weeks. On my IG previously, all I would do was post my personal stuff, which is still kind of cool. At least for me, it was cool. My traveling, what I'm eating. Then I started posting my wagers, and a lot of people came along. Many, many new people. And if you're one of them, not only do I say thank you to that, but a lot of people have been asking me, how can I see all of your plays? How can I see every single one of them? Well, here's what I'm going to do. And if you go to my IG, you'll see it. I am going to start something where you will be able to be a close friend of mine on Instagram. And as a close friend, you are going to get exclusive content. So pay attention to my Instagram. Just search Andy Slater and the details, they'll be there. Now, for those of you that are here and you couldn't care less about any of that, I guess the show is like officially starting for you right now, because I'm going to get into the Panthers. I'm going to get into the Heat. We got the NFL draft just a couple of days away. You would never even really know it here in South Florida unless you're super into the draft. We've got the Marlins still playing baseball. We've got exciting times, except for maybe the Marlins, not so exciting. The Panthers are at home tonight. I turned down going to the game because the real reason I turned down going to the game, I want to go to Medellin tonight. Like watch the Panthers game on the plane, go to Medellin. Visit my friends, girls. Hang out there for 5 days or so, then come back and then go back there again. And right now at this moment, I still don't know if I'm going. I've just got way too much going on that I'm trying to solidify. I don't even know if I'm going to go to the airport, but I'll have to know pretty soon because the flight is just before 6 p.m. So I better figure that out here pretty quickly. So we got the Panthers and Sunrise tonight, game 2 against the Lightning. The Miami Heat, they had a practice this morning in Boston. We know they're getting ready for their game 2 against the Celtics. That is tomorrow night. We kind of got a reminder right now of what last year was like. Last year, we had night after night after night of playoff action. It was nuts. It was so great. It started with the Canes and FAU in March for March Madness, and it didn't end until June, the middle of June. Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final, the Heat in the NBA Finals. We had night after night of playoff action for our teams. It was incredible. The show was so awesome. I was always so excited. I was going to all these games. It was ping pong action. It was just back and forth, hockey game, NBA game, and our local teams were involved. Now, we have that at this present moment, but will we have it in 10 days from now? Probably not. I think the Panthers have a long way to go, but I don't think the Heat have more than at most four games in them. We're not looking at anything more than a game five in the series with the Celtics. A sweep is not only possible, it's probable. And if the Celtics do sweep the Heat, then you're talking about a series that is over early next week. Or if there's a game five, then it would be the middle of the week. We're not, unfortunately, we're not going to have a two-month deal all the way until the middle of June where we have both the Heat and Panthers playing. We just need to hope that the Panthers get by the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's great right now. They have a 1-0 lead, but of course, things can change in an instant. If the Panthers don't win tonight, now it's 1-1, and you're playing games in Tampa. Not that I don't think the Panthers can win in Tampa. They can. But you don't want to be facing that. You don't want to go 1-1, and now you've got two games in Tampa. Win tonight. Go up 2-0. Win a game in Tampa. Now it's 3-1. And then try to end it next week back in Sunrise. Now for a game five, if I was in Medellin, I would fly back for that. For a clinching game. But when Marlins man hit me up yesterday trying to, you know, ask if I would go tonight, and I said no, he's like, well, I got seats behind home plate Sunday night in Boston. If you want, you can go to that. I'm like, that's interesting, because maybe I would fly back from Medellin, come to Miami, put a wager on the game Sunday night in Boston, and then fly to Boston to see my wager play out. And then my close friends on Instagram could see it too. And then come back, fly back to Miami Monday, and then go to the Panthers game Monday night, watch them win the series. If it were to go to a game five, that's when it would be, on Monday. And if the Panthers could clinch it in game six, then go to Tampa on Wednesday. Playoff time. Back in the day, not even back in the day, like 3 years ago, but for 25 years, I never had to worry about a playoff schedule. None of us did. If you were thinking about taking a vacation, you're a Panthers fan, you could set up your vacation for late April, even the middle of April. And now you can't really plan big things out because the Panthers are a legit team, really good, and so much fun to watch. It would be fantastic to watch them go up 2-0 tonight on the Lightning. All right, so I have a lot to get to this hour. You may be thinking, well, geez, you've already been talking for 12 minutes. You haven't gotten anything yet? Show content-wise, sports-wise, I haven't. And I can't until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
The Panthers play tonight against Tampa, but I want to start with the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat play tomorrow night, game two in Boston. What type of adjustments can the Miami Heat make to win that game tomorrow night? If you asked me the question, hey, Andy, what adjustments do you think the Heat can make so they can win game two, come back home with the series tied? My answer to that would be, I'm not sure the exact adjustments they can make. However, I do know that whatever adjustments they will make, they needed to work on that this morning when they had their practice. Because if the Heat lose tomorrow night in Boston, they're down 2-0. Yes, you head home for game three on Saturday, but to win the series, which is even ridiculous to say, the Heat would have to win four games out of the next five if they lost tomorrow night. Four out of five from the Boston Celtics. And the Heat haven't beaten the Celtics the entire season. So if the Heat lose tomorrow night, I mean, forget about it. Tomorrow night's game is so important. How would you get Tyler Hero to be useful tomorrow night? It's a pretty good question, isn't it? The Miami Heat have three stars on their roster. Jimmy Butler, of course, he's the superstar, but he's out several weeks. So they're not getting anything from him. Bam, he played pretty well in game one. He's the other star. And the third star is Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero was really bad in the first game, and he was bad on both ends of the floor. His ball handling was bad. His shooting was bad. As I was saying yesterday, it felt like the Celtics had a really good game plan for Tyler. And what makes Boston so tough is that they don't waste any players. All of their role players are really good, and they're experienced. Tyler was getting defended by Jrue Holiday, a great veteran guy. Derek White pitched in, great veteran player. Tyler was getting so many different looks from so many different dudes, and you could tell he did not look comfortable. When that basketball was in his hands, he was not comfortable at all. He was out there running the show at many points in the game. And while he was trying to run it, he looked lost. Tyler couldn't find the right screen. He couldn't get the open shot. Overall, for Tyler Hero, game one, it was horrible. So how do you get Tyler to be better? What can you do to have a better Tyler Hero tomorrow night? I think the first trick, it's explained by the old expression. What's the first thing you do when you find yourself in a hole? You stop digging. I think when Tyler is handling the basketball, bad things are going to happen, at least in this series, because the Celtics have a really good game plan for him. So if that is the case, you need Bam handling the ball more. You need Jovic handling the ball more. You need Duncan Robinson handling the ball more. Literally anyone else but Tyler Hero, they need to handle the ball more. And what that will do, it'll put Tyler off the ball. If Tyler's off the ball, he could start moving around. You're running around out there. You're coming off screens. And then you get the ball, you catch, and you shoot. Maybe Tyler Hero can catch fire. If he has one job and it's to shoot, because as a shot creator in game one, that didn't work. So if his one job is just to shoot, maybe that'll be a successful plan for the Heat. Maybe that could be the difference. Because what he was doing in game one, it wasn't working. The Celtics had a great game plan for it. And on defense, there needs to be more of a press. It feels like the Celtics got what they wanted whenever they wanted to get it, and they did it with great ease. The Heat have to make Boston work more for everything. Miami has a tendency, and this is usually with Haywood Highsmith in the lineup, they have a tendency to pick up the pressure full court and go into the zone. I think Miami's got to deploy that more. Because if it takes a long time to get the ball up the court and you can't get into your offensive set until there's like 10 seconds left on the shot clock, that's going to lead to bad offense. It makes everything very uncomfortable. So I think that's what the Heat need to do. In game one, did Boston look uncomfortable at any point? Did the Celtics look unhappy with their shot selection? Did the Celtics look like they were rushing? No, none of that. Boston was getting what it wanted, when it wanted. And then when Boston missed a shot, they were getting the 50-50 balls, the effort plays. So the Celtics now are getting extra possessions. They're getting an offensive rebound. And then they kick it out to three-point land, and boom, now they hit a three. When you should have had the rebound going the other way. Those 50-50 balls, the rebounds, that is effort. That's not coaching. It's effort. Spo can't give effort to his team. They have to fight. They have to want it. Either the Heat are going to compete, or it's going to be 1-2-3 Medellin for them. See, rookies say 1-2-3 Cancun. Veterans give a shout out to
Colombia!
The Heat need to get the ball out of Tyler's hands. They need to use full court pressure more along with zone and hustle. If they can do those things, I think game two, at the very least, can be more competitive. And remember, the Miami Heat came out and gave up 14 points at the beginning of the game. Boston went up 14-0. The Heat lost the game by 20. So do the math. That means the rest of the game, Miami lost by 6 points. That means the Miami Heat have to start better. They have to find a way to not have the doors blown down immediately. You don't step on the court and boom, the game is over. You got to find something on offense that will settle the group into the game. Spo said after game one, the first possession, Boston missed a shot. The Heat gave up an offensive rebound. The Celtics kick it out for three, and they hit it. That right there, all the elements, everything that happened, is exactly what the Heat did wrong in game one. Right on the first play. Because if you grab a rebound, if you make a hustle play, you're going to have a different outcome. Just do something. Do something better at the beginning of that game. Because if Boston gets a big early lead again tomorrow night, we're going to be looking at the same result. And if the Heat lose that game tomorrow night, to win this series, they would have to win 4 out of the next 5 against a team they have not beaten all year long. What are the odds of that happening? Well, you know, I would check the app and it'd probably be like 25-1. That wouldn't even be good enough for me to take. Here's what you should take. You should take Stewie's personal cell phone number when I give it to you, because Stewie has got the bagel loan. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, if you're refinancing, you want to call Stewie for the bagel loan. What is the bagel loan? I love an everything bagel. In the middle of any bagel, though, it could be an egg bagel, sesame seed bagel, you see a zero in the middle. And that is exactly what you'll pay Stewie. It's the bagel loan. You pay Stewie zero, nothing. No lender fees, no appraisal fees. So if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage or you're refinancing, you want to get a hold of Stewie. How do you do that? Here is Stewie's personal cell phone number. 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, need a mortgage, or refinancing, get a hold of Stewie. Tell him you want to know more about the bagel loan where you pay him nothing. No lender fees and no appraisal fees. MLS number 226715. I know some of you were watching hockey last night. Some of you were watching basketball. Maybe some of you were watching some baseball. I'm not going to get into the hockey games that were not South Florida related. I'm not going to get into the basketball games that were not South Florida related. This is not a fake national show. Never has been. Never will be. I kind of hesitated there. Never will be. But no, it never will be. I'm bringing this up because when I did see the Knicks and the Sixers, and again, I'm not breaking it down, it just made me even more frustrated. I was frustrated at the Heat's regular season when I was watching the Knicks and Sixers. Because here I am thinking, if the Miami Heat had taken the whole regular season seriously, they wouldn't have had to play in the play-in game. You would have probably still had Jimmy Butler. Jimmy and the Heat, a top six seed, they could have gotten by Philly or New York. And for you Knicks fans in the audience, please, give me a break. Knicks fans would not be dancing outside the Garden if they were playing the Heat with Jimmy Butler. Instead, what do we have now? Because the Heat did not take the regular season seriously. I don't care what they tell you. They didn't take it seriously. So now we have Jimmy resting his knee, and the team is getting tossed around by the Boston Celtics. That is hard to watch, and it's frustrating. When you watch the other teams play that the Heat could have been playing and should have been playing instead of Boston, it just gets even more frustrating. Because the Miami Heat did not have to take this route. And it wasn't like they were far off. It's not like they were even three or four games out from not having to go this route. They did not take the regular season seriously, and now look what happened. They're going to be out in the first round, and they're probably going to get swept. If they gave a full effort all year long, maybe they would have faced Boston, but it would have been in the Eastern Conference Finals. And at that point, I would say, okay, well, look, it's the Conference Finals. That's a worthy matchup. But to have to face this Celtics team in the first round, the first frickin' round, a team that's saying championship or bust, and having to do this without Jimmy Butler because he gets hurt in a play-in game, come on. It's not going to happen, and none of this should have happened. The Heat should have never been in this situation. But this is what they did to themselves. It's just brutal. And it's so frustrating when you see these other teams and you know with healthy Jimmy, if there was no play-in experience for the Heat this year, we'd be looking at something so much different. I would have come on here this hour and been talking about flip-flopping games back and forth for the next month and a half or 2 months. But now, we have a Heat team that's got no shot against Boston. And I just think that's the truth. You know, I'm always all about honesty. At least we have the Florida Panthers. I am very thankful for that. And I want to talk about the Florida Panthers and Game 2 coming up tonight in Sunrise. And I will in just a moment. I told you guys I was playing poker since last Friday at the Hard Rock. The World Poker Tour in town. I finished 38th out of almost 2,000 entries. Now, you could play poker with me at my next tournament. It's coming up in a few weeks. It's actually 3 weeks from today, Tuesday night, May 14th. So put it in your phone right now, or calendar, jot it down, Tuesday night, May 14th. I'll give you all the details about it as the weeks go by. But 3 weeks from now, I'm not going to tell you every detail because you're not even going to remember it. I'll tell you later on. What you can know right now, though, is that the Hard Rock, they've got poker tournaments going on every single day. They got bonus high hands happening. They got cash games. You don't have to just wait for a big poker series like the one I played in or for my tournament. You could go there any day you want. If you visit SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com, that's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com, you'll see the schedule. Every day they've got a tournament. They've got bonus high hands. They've got a lot of action. It is a great place to play cards. The Poker Room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Think about this. When it comes to the Heat, if they lose tomorrow night, they would have to beat Boston 4 out of the remaining 5 games to win that series. Now let's look at a similar circumstance, but in a positive way. If the Florida Panthers win tonight at home, they take a 2-0 series lead. That would mean the Lightning would have to win 4 out of the next 5 games. Could that happen? Well, of course, it could happen. But the odds of that happening, if the Panthers were able to go up 2-0, I think, I don't want to say they're very slim, but they're pretty slim. So this is a huge opportunity tonight in their own building for the Florida Panthers to not only make a statement, but to kind of like post a flag in the state of Florida and say, we got this. That building tonight, while I was invited by Marlins Man to go, and I declined the offer because I think I'm going to go to Medellin, but I got to, again, figure that out in the next 30 minutes or an hour because I got to head to the airport. That building tonight, it's going to be nuts. And there's going to be a difference from game one. The fans were so good in game one. Tremendous. That was a Sunday at 12:30 p.m. And a Heat game was happening at the exact same time. Even with that, the Panthers still had a huge home ice advantage. Tonight, the Heat are off. The Panthers were up 1-0 in this series. The sole focus in South Florida is on this game tonight. That place is going to be nuts. And what I liked most about game one, not only the crowd, but on the ice, the Panthers played the same way, the exact same way that they played all regular season. You look at the goals. Sam Reinhart had the first, because of course he did. 57 during the regular season, he gets the first goal. Second goal, a beautiful feed from Barkov to Verhaeghe. Verhaeghe said he didn't even see the puck until it was on his stick and into the net. And then the third goal, an empty netter by Matthew Tkachuk. Playoff Chucky. So the stars for the Panthers were the stars in game one. The Panthers counted on these guys all regular season, and they showed up in game one. To me, that is a very good sign. If a team is really good during the regular season, how do you want them to perform come playoff time? Best case, wouldn't it be play exactly like you did in the regular season? You want the same exact team. I remember in the past, we had Panthers teams that were scoring just lights out during the regular season. And then come playoff time, it's a completely different style of hockey, and they were knocked out, and they were knocked out quickly. The Panthers' regular season, and Paul Maurice adjusted to this. He's a smart dude. You can tell by the way he talks. Paul Maurice had the Panthers playing during the regular season the same style of hockey that is played during the postseason. Huge benefit for this team. Just play the same exact way. You let the chips fall. See, I still got the poker in my head from playing 30 hours over the past few days. But if you play your game the way you played it for 82, you're going to have good results, especially when you were playing well. It's so important for the guys who have been the dudes all season long to continue to be the dudes, and they were in game one. Plus, for the Panthers now, there's no fear factor. You could tell. Maybe there were still some for the fans, but for the players, there's no fear factor going up against Tampa. I remember those 2 years when the Panthers got knocked out by the Lightning. Such a fear of Vasilevsky. The Panthers had a mental block about him. Plus, the Lightning had that championship pedigree. They were the better team. They owned the Panthers. You could see why the Panthers were so intimidated by them. Mentally, going up against that squad, oof. But now, it's not there anymore. The Panthers feel like they are the superior. And they feel that way because indeed they are that way. They are superior to the Tampa Bay Lightning. You got a brand new crew in Sunrise. Matthew Tkachuk, second season. This Panthers team, they have their eyes on a much bigger prize than just beating the Lightning in round one. The whole Tampa Bay thing, maybe it's not a thing anymore. Sure, it's a rivalry. Of course it is. But fearing them. Oh, we don't want to go up against them because we're not going to beat them. We've only had one game in this series. Can the Lightning still win it? Of course they can. But I just don't think that fear is there. The Lightning don't own the Florida Panthers anymore. Very different time now than it's been in the past. Now the Lightning are just a really good opponent. But any team you face right now come playoff time is going to be a really good opponent. And then you have fans who are like, okay, if we're going to get to the Stanley Cup, we're going to have to beat Tampa anyway. We're going to have to go through Tampa. So let's just go through them now instead of in the second or third round. Whatever the draw was going to be, let's just get through them right now. And yeah, I'm with you on that. As long as they can get through them, I'm with you on that. I really like the Florida Panthers' chances. I mean, they're up 1-0. Tonight, probably going to have another tight game. But I truly believe, even though Tampa has a lot of talent, tons of talent, I think the Florida Panthers are the better team. The Florida Panthers have a lot of talent. They don't have a 120-point score or however many Kucherov had. Assists all the time, goals all the time. He's incredible. The Panthers don't have that. He's the best player on the ice by far. Better than Barkov, better than Tkachuk, better than Reinhardt. Kucherov is the best player on the ice. But overall, as a team, the Florida Panthers, they are better. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a battle. That's what it's supposed to be. No team thought, no fan thought this was going to be a pushover of any sort. Maybe it will be. I mean, maybe the Panthers could sweep the Lightning. I remember the Lightning sweeping the Panthers. I don't think this is going to be a sweep. But I certainly want Florida to win tonight. Because going back to what I said earlier, just like if the Heat lose tomorrow night to Boston to win that series, which they're not going to win, but just as an example, the Heat would have to win 4 out of the final 5. If the Panthers win tonight, Tampa's got to win 4 out of 5. And I don't think the Florida Panthers will lose 4 out of 5 to anybody. 4 out of 7 or 6, okay. Maybe later on down the line. But if the Panthers win tonight, they'd have to lose 4 out of 5 to lose the series. And I just can't see that happening. That's why the Panthers got to take a 2-0 lead tonight. They got to do it. I think they will. I'm not completely sold. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, Panthers, they're winning tonight. Forget about it. Put your house on it. No. Tampa is way too good, and they still need to be respected. Great goaltender, great talent on that ice. You know it is going to be a battle. I hope it's not a battle. I hope the Panthers blow them out. I hope they, I can't say run them out of the building, but skate them out of the building? Doesn't sound right. Just get the W tonight. Take that 2-0 series lead, and then let's continue this thing Thursday in Tampa for Game 3. What continues right now in Hollandale Beach, live racing at Gulfstream Park. It is the Royal Palm Meet. They've got live racing going on every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 4 days a week, you can head on out to Gulfstream Park and watch the races live right in front of you. And if you want to do the same thing I do when I go to Gulfstream Park, and I love being there, getting in on the action, I go to Gulfstream Park's trackside restaurant, which is called Ten Palms. You can get yourself a table, have a fantastic meal, the buffet, the menu. It's really good. You watch the races live right in front of you, and of course, you could wager on them. You could wager as little as 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all the time. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Those are the 4 days you have live races at Gulfstream Park. It is the Royal Palm Meet. It's going on right now. If you want any more information, visit GulfstreamPark.com. I got a couple more things to say before the hour is up. And yes, today's Tuesday. That means it's a Luke Tuesday. However, I tried to get a hold of Luke, and I don't know. I'm reading online. Luke's trying to maybe run for Congress. Luke's got a lot going on, and I tried him several times. He didn't pick up his phone. I don't even know where he is right now. I really have no idea. So it's a Luke Tuesday without Luke. Thursday, we've got the NFL draft. This town, South Florida, has changed. 15 years ago, I'd be on here breaking down every single offensive lineman. I wouldn't like doing it, but I think that's what a lot of people would be doing. Who are the Dolphins going to take with the 21st pick? Nowadays, though, we got the Heat. We got the Panthers. We got a lot going on. Last year was nuts. Just weeks and weeks and weeks of shows about the Heat and the Panthers and not having to do draft talk. And trust me, I don't like draft talk. If the Dolphins had the number one or the number two pick or a top five pick, it's different. But breaking down what they're going to do at 21, no thank you. If they were higher up, we'd be talking about maybe a quarterback. Some conversation that would have a lot more to it. What we're probably going to get on Thursday is a very unsexy pick. It might be a good pick. It might be the right pick. But an exciting pick? No. I couldn't imagine a draft party where people lose their minds after the Dolphins make their pick at 21. And the other thing I want to get to, because I am running out of time this hour, I hope somebody can wake up the Marlins bats. They lost last night in Atlanta 3-0. That offense, oof, dreadful. They got a decent pitching performance again from Ryan Weathers. Travis d'Arnaud hit another homer for Atlanta, but the Marlins, they didn't do anything offensively. So they split a weekend series against the Cubs in Chicago. And they go in to face a division rival and lose 3-0. The Braves, good team and seem even better when they take on the Marlins. That's all the time I got for this Tuesday afternoon. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.